Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
I'm so glad to be in church. Somebody turn the lights on a little bit, though. I can't see anything in here. It's dark. I'm having a hard time reading my, I might need to get a little light or something. But it's so good to be in church, excited to be here, excited to see what God has for us today, right? We're in the midst of our series. Actually, today's the last one. My church. Aren't you glad you got a church? Yes. It's so important to have a church family. It's so important because God uses church family to many times fill in for us what we're missing in our own biological families. God will use church family to fill in those holes, those lapses that we have. And you know, not looking around or anything like that, but there's so many people here from different places, different backgrounds. Some people had that white picket fence growing up and everything worked out good for you and good for you. Amen. That's awesome. But then there's a whole bunch of other people in here that didn't have a fence, didn't have a house, didn't have anything like what you had. And so life hasn't been the same for them. But the good news is that God can take us, no matter where we've come from, God can set us and take us and fill in for us what the world has stolen from us. Isn't that good news? And so it's so important to have a church family because that's how God does it. He does it through your church family. And so we've been in our series. We started out with My Church Empowers People. Aren't you glad your church empowers people? You know, this church, if you're new to BVC, it's a great series for you because you get to find out what kind of church we are. Because there's lots of different churches. There's great churches all over Palm Beach County. There's amazing churches in this world. But God has a church for you. The Bible says that God places those in the body as it pleases them. No, that's not what it says. Some of you are like, what? I don't think that's how it goes. No, it says, as it pleases him. God has a place that he is going to set you into, and it pleases him because you are what that body needs. How many, you know, if all of our bodies, we all have the pretty much the same, you know, we all have two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears, right? Some of us have hair. Some of us don't have any hair anymore. But, you know, it's just we all kind of, you know, we're human beings. And so when God sees the body of Christ and he says, listen, oh, this church over here, they need your gifting, so I'm going to place you there. This church over here, it has what you need, so I'm going to place you here so you can get recovered. You can get restored because they have what you need. And so God places us in the body, and it's called your church. Amen? And so this church, one of the most important things for us as a church is that we empower people. We empower you to do the ministry. Because the Bible says it's not my job to do the ministry. A lot of times, especially in American churches, everybody's like, well, that's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. No, no, really, that's your job. My job is to equip you to do your job. That's my job. My job is to equip the saints for what? The working of the ministry. That's what I'm here to do. And so when we think about the church, you say, it's not about just who's behind the pulpit. I'm not the one to do all the work. We're all ministers of the gospel. God has called all of us to do work for the ministry. You know, you are created. You are here on this earth to do. Amen. Amen. You're here to do something. You're here to do something. You're not here to just sit on a pew. You're not here to just listen. You're not here to just look good. That's not what you're here for. And if that's your idea of being here, when here is over and you're in heaven, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because, you know, and I say this a lot, but it's important that we are eternally minded. Because eternity is much longer than here. You know, this life, the Bible says, is a vapor. It's a vapor. You know, whether we realize it or not, we're all familiar with vapors. We all are. Think about it for a second. What's a vapor? It's like just a small bit of gas. That's what it is. It's a vapor. It's just a small little bit of gas. Some of you are a little more familiar with that than others, right? But, you know, I mean, think about that. It's like it's short. right? Hopefully. But the Bible says that your life is just a vapor. It's just... But eternity is eternal. You think this service is never ending? You have no idea what eternity is. Eternity is eternal. It has no end. And what I do here in this vapor makes a big difference of how I live in eternity. Big difference. And so it's important that we're eternally minded. We got to be eternally minded. What counts in eternity? I want that to count here for me. Amen? And so we want to empower you to do, because we're all going to stand before Jesus. You're either going to stand before Jesus for judgment on where you're going, or you're going to stand before Jesus for a different kind of judgment, a good kind, to determine how you live. Does that make sense? We're either going to stand before the Lord for judgment on whether I receive Jesus or not. And hopefully all of us are going to pass that line and be like, been there, done that, already did that on earth. We're going to go to another line. And in that line, we're going to stand before the Lord, and it isn't a judgment on whether I'm good or I'm bad or whether I'm getting into heaven or I'm not. No, I'm in heaven. It's a judgment to say, hey, what'd you do with the life I gave you on earth? What did you do? I'm not saved by works. I'm saved for works. Jesus saved me and has a place for me in heaven. I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by what Jesus did. I can't earn my salvation. But now that I have it, what am I supposed? I'm supposed to do something. And so I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to want to know, hey, what'd you do with all those gifts and talents that I gave you? What'd you do with that awesome singing voice that I gave you? Did you lead people into the presence of God, or did you just sit in your car and sing with the radio with nobody watching? What'd you do? What'd you do with that amazing talent I gave you to build and make things with your hands? Did you just watch TV shows and say, oh, I could do that, I could make that, I could make that, and then not make anything? Or did you do something to bless others? What'd you do with what I gave you? Jesus is going to ask us all that question. And so our job here is to empower you, to remind you that it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are. None of that matters. What matters is that we take what Jesus has done for us seriously, and we make a decision to do all that he's called us to do, and not let insecurities keep me down. Not let the wrong people in my life keep me from living the dream God gave me. Amen? Not let the fear of man keep me from stepping out. Not let all these things keep me from doing what God called me to do. And so our role here is to empower you and to constantly remind you that your past is your past. Whatever happened in it, the blood of Jesus is big enough for it. Amen. Whatever you're lacking, the power of God is big enough to make up for you. Whatever. We're here to empower you and remind you, God is looking for you to be the minister of Believers Victory Church. You know, I jokingly said, when somebody says, who's the minister at BVC? You need to say, I am. I am, because we're all ministers. We're all here to pray for the sick. We're all here to teach the word. We're all here to love on people. We're all here to meet the needs of people. Who's the minister at BVC? Angie Centron. Who's the minister at BVC? Scott Nora Birch. Who's the minister at BVC? David Whitty. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen? And you got to put your name in there. Who's the minister at BVC? Say your name. You are. You're empowered to do the work of the gospel in this place. You will never hear it. Listen, no. That's only for people with Bible school degrees. Do you know the most powerful people used by God never went to Bible college? But they did study the word. You might hear, you need to learn the word a little more. You might hear that. You might hear, you need to serve a little bit. You need to get into the word. You might hear that. But you're not going to hear, oh, you got to go to Bible college for that. You're not gonna, that's great to go to Bible college. But don't let that stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Amen? The Bible says with Peter that he said, the people said that he was uneducated and untrained. But then they said this, but it was evident that he had been with Jesus. Nobody cares what you know. When you've been with Jesus, it's going to show up. Amen? And so the thing is, your church empowers you. We want to see you do what God's called you to do. We want to see that. I love to see people. You know, every Sunday when I see these young people up on the stage singing, I mean, it just touches my heart in such a deep way. Because I know where a lot of them have come from. I've walked with them through some struggles in their life. I've heard them say, I don't know if God can ever use me. And I'm so glad and so blessed and so honored to be the one to look them in the eye and say, God can use you. Amen. God can use you. God wants to use you. God has a plan for you. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than seeing people do what God's called them to do. And so one of the most important things about your church, we want to see you do what God's called you to do. We're not going to hold it like, oh no, that's just for the pastors. We don't want you getting too popular. We don't want you getting too big for your britches. No. We want you to do all that God's called you to do. It's not about us being known. It's about Jesus being known. Amen. It's all about Him. And so your church empowers you. Second service we started about, your church encounters God. If we don't encounter God, what are we doing here? This isn't the Chamber of Commerce meeting. This isn't the Kiwanis meeting or some other group that meets that doesn't have. This isn't a Boy Scout meeting. This is church. Amen. This is church. We're supposed to encounter God here. But whether or not God is always here, because the Bible says wherever two or more are gathered, He is there in the midst of them. And look around, there's more than two of us here. So I went to this thing for Norville Hayes a few weeks ago, and it was great. It was to honor him, and yes, he's still alive. Every time somebody says that, they're like, oh, did he die? No, really, the time to honor someone is when they're alive. Amen. Everybody's like, oh, did he die? I'm like, no, he was there. He was there. I mean, he's getting older, but it was to honor him and people got up and they shared testimony about what the impact that he's had on their life. Let's not wait till somebody dies to tell them that. Tell them now. Amen. Tell them now. And that's what was put on a minister's heart. And so she put this whole thing together. There were hundreds of people there and we honored him. And it was so powerful. And Phil Driscoll was there and it was amazing. But you know what? Listen. I really, really like Phil Driscoll. He's a trumpet player, and you may not know this, I was also a trumpet player. I got skills you have no idea, all right? But that's a true statement. And so I really like Phil Driscoll, and plus he just sings. I love his voice. He's great. He's anointed. He's powerful. He's been here to BBC to minister a couple of times, and he was there. But I left and didn't encounter him. I left. Now, I could have, because I was talking to my brother afterwards. He's like, why'd you leave? He goes, I went up and talked to Phil Driscoll, and we talked for a while, and he remembered being at BBC, and he remembered you, and he was like, where's your sister? And my brother's like, oh, she left, you know? And I was like, oh, I should have stayed. I could have got to talk to Phil Driscoll. But you know what? That's exactly what a lot of you do when it comes to church. God is here. And you have the ability to encounter Him. You have the ability to have a connection with Him. But you can just walk right out the door and be like, oh, He was there? Oh. I knew Phil Driscoll was there. But just to be honest, there was a whole bunch of people there, and the thing went a really long time. Pastor Steve was there. It was pretty long, right? It was a really long time, and I had somewhere I had to go, and so I left. But really, when it comes to God, what's more important than having an encounter with God? We should make a decision. I'm not going to leave church. I'm going to come in here, and I'm not going to let my phone, I'm not going to let people distracting me, I'm not going to let this, I'm not going to let that, I'm not going to let anything pull me out of an encounter with God, because that is what I need. That's what I need. And God is always here. Whether I preach good or not, God is here. Whether the praise band is on fire or having an off day, God is here. And so the choice if you encounter him is up to you. But we can't be like not that Phil Driscoll's God. That's not what I'm saying. It's an illustration. You understand that? I mean, he's close, but he's not God. Let's not just walk out and be like, oh, I don't have time for that, or oh, I got this other stuff I got to think about, or I got to stay in this group chat. Everybody's talking about a meme somebody put up and how funny it is. I got to stay hooked up with that. Who cares about that? There's a time for that. Sure, I love a good meme. They're great, you know. I mean, some of them are hysterical. There's a time for that. This is not that time. And what we do here determines what we receive from here. Church can be the springboard for your week, or it can be just another practice that you do. If you're just here to practice, and that means just go through the motions, you're not going to get what God has for you. And let me tell you something, your marriage needs you to get an encounter. Amen? Your finances need you to get an encounter with God. Your children, they need you to get an encounter with him. And I'll tell you who doesn't have an encounter with God. Facebook doesn't have it.
That's right.
Facebook is awesome. But it's not going to give you what you need in the presence of God. TV's not going to do that. A new joke isn't going to do that. Staying up on the latest gossip isn't going to do that. Doing your grocery list isn't going to do that. Wondering what this is in my head is not going to do that. I see some of you guys staring at my head. Yes, it's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid. So we're like, you know, I know how that is because on Wednesday night, the lady who was teaching in the video, I was convinced that they photoshopped her shoes off. Honestly, I kept trying to focus on what she was saying, and I kept looking at her thinking, where are your shoes? You know, it just distracted me. I could not pay attention to what this woman was saying because I kept thinking, why do you not have shoes, but you have heels on your heel? What? They photoshopped them off. I'm going to look at it later and make sure. But I mean, it just distracted me. And so I see some of you guys are going like this. Yes, this is a Band-Aid. I'm wounded. I'm wounded and still preaching. No, I'm just kidding. I had a mole removed. That's what it was. Nothing thrilling or exciting. No great story. That's all there is. But we can't let things like that, so I'm telling you so you can be like, okay, that's what it is. Let's get back to my encounter with God. Amen? And I'm wearing shoes. I got shoes on. Let's get into that encounter with God because we're such a distracted society. You know, we're like that dog in the movie, squirrel. I know, what were you saying? God, what were you saying? He was just saying was going to set you free. Amen? You know, I'll never forget in a service with Brother Hagin years ago, we were down in Miami, and it was all these ministers were there, and we're sitting in the front rows, and Brother Hagin's just, you know, he's just walking, he's talking. You don't know who Brother Hagin is. Just, he's an awesome man of God. He's up in heaven now, and he's just walking, he's talking. And I am so glad that I wasn't distracted during the service. I'm so glad that I had the forethought to put my phone away. I'm so glad that I wasn't making out a list of things I needed to do. I'm so glad that I wasn't listening to his message to get a message to preach to you. I was listening to his message to get it from me. I'm so glad. Because while we were sitting there, a lot of us were there. We're sitting there in those front rows and Brother Hagin's just talking. It's like just another service. But I'll tell you, I knew that God was there. And we were focused and we were paying attention. And we were listening to what he said. And then it was like a millisecond. If your head was anywhere else, you missed it. If your head was anywhere else, you missed what God was doing. It happened in a flash. It was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. Does it happen every service? No. But you don't know when it's going to happen, and that's why you got to be plugged in every time.
Amen.
Amen. No matter who's preaching. But I tell you, it happened in a flash. It happened so fast. The power of God came in that room. It started on this side. Who was there? There's a bunch of us there. He started on this side, and it went whoosh, across the room. And people, people say, oh, that was fake. You can't do something like that fake because people just aren't that good. You ever been where you're trying to get people like, okay, we're going to do the wave. All right, we're going to do the wave. We're going to start over here. We're going to go over there. All right, ready, go. There's always somebody going, what? What? Oh, oh. And it's like, it's past. It's past. And there always somebody's like, that's me. That's me when that happens. But I'll tell you, you could not have choreographed this. You could not have gotten people to do it because it was an encounter with God. And it swept through that room and people it's hard to even describe what happened because it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. I've never experienced it again. It was that one time, but I tell you, when it was over, there were people standing around going, what happened? What happened? Because they weren't paying attention. They weren't in. They were somewhere else. Church is a time to encounter God. There's plenty of time to talk with friends. There's plenty of time to be on Facebook. There's plenty of time to get a message for you to preach somewhere else. There's plenty of time for that. But here in this time, this is our time to receive from God. Your church puts a great emphasis on encountering God. Because without God, we're just a club. We're just a club. I'm not interested in being part of a club. I'm interested in being part of the body of Christ. Amen? That's what I'm here for. And I hope that's what you're here for. Amen? And so when we think about my church today, you know, I know I took a little bit of time there. I'm off time. But today we're going to talk about my church, and it's so important. Today is not about you. It's not about you. Because my church, it's here for others. God put that gift in you, not for you, for others. Amen. God blesses you. Blessing you is a byproduct. It's just a bonus. God blesses you to bless others. Amen? We're here for others. And our text scripture for this is Daniel 6:3. And it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself. We want to distinguish ourselves. We want to say, this is important to me as a church. This is important to us. These are the qualities that matter the most. It matters a lot that we encounter God. It matters the most because without God in the mix, like I said, we're just a club. We're just a group of people sitting around, you know, singing Kumbaya. That's not what we're here for. It matters to me that we empower people to the ministry. Amen. It matters to me. I don't want to pastor a church filled with a bunch of pew sitters. I don't want that. I'd rather have less people that serve God than more people that just sit. Because it's important to me that when you stand before Jesus, you hear, well done. That's important to me. The Bible says that I'm going to be held accountable as your pastor on if I empowered you or not. And so it's important to me. And that's why sometimes when it's just you and me, I'll tell you things that are what I call a hard truth. Sometimes you need to hear a hard truth. Like, hey, that's not good. That's not godly. That's not cool. Sometimes you need to hear that. Because it's like a weight weighing you down from the plan God has for your life. And so you need to hear that. My church encounters God. That's important. My church empowers people. Amen? Amen? And last week we talked, this is just as important. Our church enjoys life. These are things that are important to us. They distinguish us. We're not going to be a bunch of stick in the muds. We're not going to be a bunch of people that are so holy we can't laugh at anything. We're not going to be that. We're going to be people who love God and love life because God gave us this life and we need to enjoy it. You need to have some good belly laughs every once in a while. You got to have those laughs where you just can't even talk. You can't even talk because you're just laughing so hard. You need those. It's good for you. When's the last time you had just a good belly laugh? I'll tell you, if you want one, come to prayer at 8:30 and then go to breakfast with us. Because we pray every morning, we are serious, we pray, and we seek God, and then we go to breakfast. And I tell you, this, I think it was Friday, I was laughing so hard, I couldn't even talk. I could talk. You know, it's that ugly laugh where your face is just all, you're just like, oh, you gotta hide your face because you have no idea what it looks like. And just tears running down. It's just, I was laughing so hard. You need that. You need to enjoy life. You need to. These are things that are important to us. Turn your Bible to James chapter 1, verse number 27. Today we're going to talk about my church. We're here for others. Amen. I was going to call it my church lives generously. We could say either one. But James 1:27, I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible. It says, real religion, the real deal, the real thing, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. Real religion, we could put it like this. Real religion, the kind that God looks at favorably, is the kind where you do for others and they cannot do for you. The kind where you pour into others not expecting anything back. You pour into the people who are mean and have had life just not treat them well. You pour into people whether they deserve it or not. That's the real deal. Because Jesus gave his life for us when we did not deserve it at all. People are like, I'm not going to help them. They don't deserve it. That's wrong thinking, because Jesus helped you when you didn't deserve it. Yes. Amen. And so when we think about this, we are blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2 out of the New Living says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. All the blessings that we've received, we receive them so that we can bless other people. And you're sitting here and you say, well, I'm not very blessed. I'm not very blessed, Pastor. If you live in America, you are blessed. The worst situation in America is better than many situations all over the world. You know, I say this all the time, and this is a great statistic. If you have any money at all, even if you've got change in your car, how many got some change in your car? Raise your hand if you got change in your car. Or you got some change in your wallet. You got at least 25 cents. If you don't have 25 cents, raise your hand. We're going to give you 25 cents because that's just not even right. Everybody here has got probably at least 25 cents. Do you realize that just having that amount of money makes you more wealthy than over half of the world? Isn't that incredible? Just that little tiny bit of money. Do you know there are places, many, many, many places in the world where women carry 40 gallons of water every single day? They trek to get it, they get it, and they trek back. Wives, women, and young girls, every day they do that. And unfortunately, predators know that they have to go to that, get that water. And many times they're abused by just bad people. But they have to do it. Next time you stand in front of your sink and turn the water on, remind yourself how blessed you are. Yeah. Amen. Next time you're able to go through a drive-thru and get a 99-cent meal, 99-cent burger, remind yourself, I'm more blessed than half the world. I live better than half the world. Don't ever think you're not blessed. But why are we here? You could be anywhere. God could have placed you anywhere. He could have placed you. You didn't choose where you were going to be born. You didn't choose that. You didn't choose that you were going to, most of us here were born in America. Some of us weren't, but you didn't choose that. We just came out. Here we are. You know, I wasn't up in heaven before I was born in Indiana going, now, Lord, listen, I need you to place me somewhere good, somewhere where they got biscuits and gravy and fried tenderloin sandwiches. I need you to place me somewhere good. I didn't do that. I just got placed. The Bible says that God has a plan for you. God placed us here. He placed us in this blessed nation. Regardless of what's going on in the world, we are still a blessed nation. Yes. And God placed us here. Why? So we could be a blessing to the rest of the world. God says, I'm going to bless you, but you're going to bless others. The blessings we receive are not just to put in my pocket and say, woo, look what I got. No, the blessings I receive, they're to bless me, sure, but they're to go through me and bless other people. And that's what everything we get here at church, When you get moved by a message, when you get touched by the power of God, it isn't for you to go home and sit in front of your TV and be like, man, I got blessed today. No, it's to change me. It's to form me. It's to heal me. It's to restore me so that I can go out and give it to other people. That's what it's for. God blesses me to bless other people. You're here not for you. You're here for others. I tell you, that's one of the greatest lessons any of us can ever learn. One of the greatest lessons. I'm so happy that I learned this lesson a long time ago. It took me a little bit, but the Lord, I remember the Holy Ghost. I was standing in the youth room at 2980 Jog Road. I was standing in the youth room. I was getting ready to do this big event, and some things weren't going the way I wanted them to go, and I was just frustrated. And then the Holy Ghost just rose up on the inside of me, and he said this. He said, it isn't about you. Because I was like, this isn't going right, and I wanted it to be like this, and I wanted these colors, and I wanted that, and the Lord just rose up on the inside of me. He's like, it's not about you. And at first I was like, what do you mean it isn't about me? You know, we're so blessed because we're like, Jesus died for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. And all those things are true, but we got to add the rest. He did that also. You could be a blessing to other people. And so the Lord said, it's not about you. It isn't about what people think about you. It isn't about the people who say, oh, Peggy, you did such a great job. This is beautiful. That's not what it's about. And I tell you, that changed me. Changed me that day. It changed my life. Because I was just like, Lord, let it always be about you. If I get in the way, just whack me. Just give me a up beside the head. Remind me. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's got God working through you. Yes. Amen? And so in Luke chapter 18, turn over there and we're going to look at 29 and 30. I'm going to read it to you out of a different translation. The Bible, because sometimes we can say, well, what about me? What about me? Why does anybody care about me? Listen, being self-centered leads to depression, leads to anger, leads to having a life that never measures up. It's never going to be good enough if all you think about is yourself. Never. And here we got a promise where you can say, you know what, I'm going to quit thinking like that. Because the Bible says this. It says, God says, I guarantee this. Anyone, who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in this life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. God says, listen, whatever you give up for God, he says, don't worry about it. He's gonna fill you up in different ways. He's going to fill you up in different ways. You know, somebody asked me a pretty personal question the other day, and as I thought about it, I looked back and I said, well, you know, this happened, it was the church. The church came, it came, it, I had to pastor the church. And Scott and I both, we had to pastor the church. She was, hey, why didn't you guys do this? Why didn't you do this? We gave up a lot of that stuff. You know, it's some people think, oh man, I got into the car the other day and, oh, who was it? Somebody said to me, he goes, well, what are you doing today? I said, well, I'm headed, oh, the guy who does my nails. He said, he goes, oh, what are you doing this today? And I said, well, I'm heading back to work. He goes, I thought you only worked on Sunday. He goes, I thought you worked during the week. And I was like, you only knew. Come on. You only knew. Let me tell you something. And I don't say this like, oh, poor me, because it isn't. I did it willingly, and I would do it again, and so did Scott. We did it willingly and lovingly. Listen, when Pastor Mark died, our lives changed. We had plans. We had things that we were going to do. We couldn't do those things. Because the church needed us. Because God said, this is what I have for you to do. And so, say, do you miss those things? Sure, a little bit. A little bit. But I'll tell you, the feeling and the moment when you see the light bulb go off in someone's head, come when they realize and recognize God loves me. I'm not what I have done. God can use me. Every once in a while, one of the kids, you know, we call them the kids. One of the kids up here will, oh, well, the other day, Anthony Diaz was singing, and boy, I don't just love when Anthony sings, man. I mean, it's like nobody else is in the room. I kid you, he just goes for it, right? And it's awesome. It's awesome. And the other day, Pastor Scott had been working with him on some notes and, you know, and everything, and Anthony hit this note while he was singing, and Scott looked at me, and I looked at him, and Scott was just like, yep. That's what it's all about. Have we given up things for that? You have no idea. But is it worth it? Yeah. Because whatever you give up for the Lord, God repays. It's a different kind of payment, but it's better. People, you know, yesterday on Saturday, some people got together and they went and they did the food drive thing at the post office, and it was so hot out. But man, they did it, and I saw the picture, and I saw Nicole, and I saw Gino, and I saw these people, and I was like, man, these people work like 8:30 to 5:30, Monday through Friday at a desk. I mean, they work, and Gino, man, I know that guy works like 60 hours a week for sure, and they got two kids, and all the people that were there, but I just saw them, and I thought, man, I know they probably had other things they would like to be doing on a Saturday, but they gave their time to the Lord. If you give time, if you give that to God, you say, I don't have time to work for Jesus. You don't understand Jesus if that's what you think. Come on. You don't understand the payment that God gives. You don't understand why you are here, because you think it's all about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. Some of you guys that are depressed and tired and unhappy and angry, the best thing you could do is start sowing into other people. Because you're so empty already, and that's all you can think about is how empty you are and how hurt you are and how this you are, and it's all about you. You get outside of yourself, and you start doing for people that cannot do for you. You start doing for people when nobody knows it's you, and God starts pouring into you, and all of a sudden you start getting filled up, and you say, man, where's that depression that I had? Where's that anger that I had? Where's that no time that I had? Where's that always tired that I had? God has poured into you like only God can. Yes. That's the best thing you can do. You know why so many people are so depressed? Because they are so self-centered. Now listen, I'm not talking about a medical situation where you're depressed. There's a time where your body's not working the way it's supposed to work and depression can come. I'm not talking about that. You need the healing power of Jesus, and you need some medication, you need some love, and God's going to get you through that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person that's sitting on their couch all the time saying, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, nobody cares about me. I'm talking about you. That's who I'm talking to. And the best thing you can do is get up and get out. Amen. And do something for other people. Because yeah. That's what you're here for. You're not here for you. You're here for others. Amen? It's not about you. So well, that doesn't sound very, very good. It's the best way to live. Amen. There's no better way to live. The more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to help others. Oh, thanks, babe. In Luke 12:48, it says, much is required from those to whom much is given. Much is required. Much is required. Man, when God says much is required, you better pay attention. Yes. Much is required from those to whom much is given, for their responsibility is greater. The more God blesses you, the more He expects you to be a blessing. The more He blesses you, the more He expects your life to be all about Him. That's how God works. In Paul's final words, he said this in Colossians 1:28. He said, these are some of Paul's final words. And he says, we proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul says, listen, the reason we're here is to proclaim Jesus. We proclaim him. The reason we're here as a church is to proclaim Jesus. How many know there's a lot of wrong thinking about Jesus out in the world? How many times have you ever met somebody and said, I'm a Christian, and they just immediately dislike you? Try being a pastor. I can't tell you how many times we say, hey, what do you do? And at that moment, you're like, am I going to tell the truth or am I going to, like, be vague? You know? I'm a motivational speaker. I motivate people. Or I say, or I'm a teacher. I'm a counselor. I'm a listener. You know, at that moment, all these things run through your mind, because as soon as I say I'm a pastor, everything changes. Everything changes. And so in that moment, it's like, of course I tell the truth. I'm a pastor. And then I hear about, you know, I used to go to church. You know, I used to know a pastor. You know this, I usually, and immediately, because people have been so hurt and abused by lies of the enemy about Jesus, yeah, about church, about pastors. And so it's so important that we proclaim him. Not your idea of him, not your experience from somebody else, but who he really is. Paul said, to this end, this is what we do. This is why we're here. It's why you're here. It's why I'm here. It's why God has us here. He says, you're here to proclaim them. And we're also here to admonish people. We're here to teach people. People need to be taught because they don't know. We didn't just wake up one day and say, you know, I know everything about Jesus. No, we got to learn that God is good, that God is kind, that God has a plan for us, that his word works. We got to learn how the healing power of Jesus works. We got to learn how the word works. We've got to learn. We got to be taught. Amen. And some of the people will never listen to me. They'll listen to you. Paul says, this is what we're here to do. We're here to proclaim him. We're here to admonish people. And we're here to teach everyone with all wisdom. And here's why. So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're perfect and we don't make any mistakes. That's not what that means. It means we've been perfected. Here's what that word means if you study it out. It means we reach our potential. We reach our potential. I have this picture in my house that my dad got me for Christmas, and it's a flower, and it says this. It says, I am filled with potential. You know you're filled with potential? And so your job, my job, Paul says, here's what we're here for. We're here to proclaim him. We're here to admonish. We're here to tell people, hey, listen, you know what? There's a whole culture of the world that is pulling society so far away from moral truths of the word. How many can see that? I mean, it's just pulling it away. We're here to stand up and say, listen, that's not right. That's not right. I'm going to love you. I'm going to care about you. But my job is to proclaim, admonish, and teach. I'm here. I got to say, when something's not right, we got to say, hey, that ain't right. You know, the Bible says people perish for a lack of wisdom, for a lack of vision, for a lack of restraint. That translation, I love lack of restraint. When you throw off all the rules, death is coming. Because you can't live without boundaries. You can't live without right and wrong. You can't live. And so when everybody's like, oh, everything's okay. No, it's not okay. Paul says, listen, my job here is to proclaim, admonish, and teach everyone with all wisdom so that we can present everyone that they fulfilled their potential. They fulfilled their potential. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. What are we here for? We're not here to just keep getting smarter and bigger and more spiritual and all that kind of, you know what I mean by that. We're not here to just be all about us, like, oh, I'm just going to worship and I'm just going to, that's good and we need to do that, but that's not what it's all about. Because then it's all about you. If all you come to church to do is worship, that's great, you're worshiping God, but that worship is to transform you so you can be used to proclaim, to admonish, and to teach. Because how many know this world needs to know who Jesus is? Yeah. They need to be told what is right and wrong. And they need to be taught the Word of God. Yes. That's what we're here for. Paul says, to this end I labor. To this end I labor. That's what we're here to do as a church. We're not here to just keep getting better looking, right? We're here to proclaim Jesus. We're here to admonish. We're here to teach the Word. That's what we're here for. So what we do is not just for us. It comes to us to go through us. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just stir in the hearts of people here that it isn't about them. It's about what you have for us to do. Lord, help us know that true joy, true fulfillment in life doesn't come from being selfish and it all, being all about us. It comes from seeking you first. It comes from saying, not my will, but yours. It comes from letting God call the shots and not us. That's where it comes from. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in here, and I know there's a few that you feel empty. You feel like no matter what happens, it's never right. You feel like people can never measure up. You feel like it's just never what you think it's supposed to be. You always think it's supposed to be better. Listen, that better that you're looking for, man can't do. Only God can. Only God can. And it's time to say, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. So, Father, I pray for every person in this room that we would have a greater understanding of who you are, what you've done, and what you want us to do. I know there's some people in here that are hurt today. You've been hurt by church. Don't let the actions of imperfect people, which is all of us, nobody's perfect. Don't let the actions of imperfect people rob you from being part of the greatest thing on this earth, and that's the local church. I truly believe the local church is the hope of the world. It has everything you need in it. And don't let what happened, don't let somebody hurt your feelings, don't let somebody being wrong morally, don't let something that's happened in the church rob you from being part of the church. There's no such thing as a perfect church, but God has a place for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for every person here that you stir in us all that you have for us, that it goes in us and through us to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad God's good?